This podcast is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast. Hello, everyone. As I reflect on 2024 and what I hope to bring to this year of life, I can't help but look to what 2023 was like. And when I look at all the industries I work in, there is one prevailing factor that is always the same. I am working with high-level, high-performing people that are crazy ambitious. Whether I'm teaching a yoga class, running a yoga teacher training, or coaching, I get to work with athletes, professionals, or artists that are incredible at what they do. If you're listening to this podcast, you are among this type of person that wants to level up, that wants to suck the juice out of every moment of life, and you set goals, audacious goals. You get after those goals, you hit them, and then you set bigger ones. High performers, they sparkle. They're the leaders and the motivators. They inspire entire industries and communities. People might look upon high performers and assume that it's easy for them, that they got lucky. And maybe some of us won the genetic lottery, but in my work, I know from the bottom of my bones that mastery and ambition is fought for. Success is not about luck, and it's not about it being easy. These are people that persevere, have incredible discipline, and are committed even when the storms come in. But there's a cost. There is a very big hidden fee to being ambitious. And it is our responsibility for this year to contemplate how we can balance the scales of ambition and rest, coming back to a sense of play and remembering why we do what we do, that we are making meaning out of life, which has no meaning, and what is the impact that we want to have, most importantly, so that we get to enjoy every breath, every day, every moment, even when it gets tough. The three costs of being ambitious are, number one, an inability to disconnect from work, from your art, from your sport. It is a consumption in the mind with progress, thinking of the next high pinnacle we hope to reach, meaning it's really difficult to land in the seemingly mundane moments. We might even find ourselves thinking about our ideas and plans while having a conversation with our partner or our friends. The second is high performers can sometimes get the way we get because we source our self-esteem from what we accomplish. We are looking to external factors for internal worth, meaning if our profession, our art fell away, we would be devastated and depressed because we would have no identity beyond that. And the third is that we can mistake what we acquire, fame, accolades, clout, success, for the actual goal of the job that we're doing. It is so powerful to have drive and discipline and passion, to feel lit. What a gift, what a kiss from God. But the double-edged sword is it can eat us alive. We can get stuck. We can feel burnt out. We can actually lose the passion for the thing that brought us the most joy in the beginning. So with that idea that ambition makes it difficult to disconnect, meaning I can leave work at work, I can leave home at home, ambition is a strong desire to do or achieve something that requires determination and hard work. It's a yearning. It's a soul call. It's an appetite. It's zeal and vigor. The downfall is it's difficult to rest, to unplug, to sit down and relax without feeling guilty. It can breed an every person, man, woman for themselves, meaning it's a hierarchy and I gotta fight and compete to get what's mine, a loss of belief in there is enough for everyone. It could also lead to us looking down on other people that don't have the hunger that we have. And the biggest crux of all is in that we have a separation from the whole. We feel like it's all on me. I gotta do it alone, and I'm the only one putting the work in. Separation is hate. Separation is I am better, different, or less than you. If we look out into nature, we know that everything affects everything else, meaning we affect everything else and everything else affects us. We are not in it alone, and this is not a competition. So what are we going to do about it? Nothing. We're totally fucked. That's just the reality. I'm kidding. Just as you taught yourself the discipline to accomplish, we have to teach ourselves and give ourselves the time and space to do things that have nothing to do with productivity. Time in nature, journaling, laughing with friends, doing things that we are not good at, and nor do we care about being good at them. And that might feel crazy, but what it starts to do is give us different playing fields where we no longer need to be the elite. We no longer need to be the one in control or leading. Now, what about the treacherous edge of sourcing our validation from outer manifestations? So validation is the action of checking or proving that something is valid or accurate. I tell a joke and I look to make sure somebody laughed to make sure it's funny, regardless of whether I thought that it was a good joke. I write an article and I'm checking to see if anyone liked it to prove the accuracy of whether what I think and say is important or interesting. Art is for the sake of the part inside of us that comes alive when we do it. And I say art, but I mean work and I mean sport. If you are fully bought into something and you're doing it from the pureness of expression, it is irrelevant what anyone else thinks. At first, you might be looking around to see if people like you, is this good enough? And then eventually, it no longer matters. You are creating. Heck yeah. So the downfall is when I'm sourcing my esteem from you, what you think of me, nothing will ever be good enough because you can never replace the deficit of self-love that I have. It leads to self-denigration, meaning I hate myself if somebody doesn't like my work. It is competitive by nature. It needs to be seen and acknowledged. It is when the ego is so volatile, we have a shaky sense of self. What do we do about it? We need to remember that we matter regardless of what we bring to the table. Acceptance and belonging are two very different things. Acceptance is shape-shifting to fit in, to be accepted and normal. But belonging is you belong because you are different and weird. And this is remembering to come back to what you love about yourself. What do you value regardless of your social standing? What do you naturally do well? And where can you celebrate the small, insignificant wins? What are you grateful for about yourself and this moment? We begin to build a fire or a sense of stamina within ourselves to handle negative feedback, to know that we are good regardless of what others perceive our goodness to be. A good question to ask yourself is, if my business, my art, my sport failed, would I be okay? Because when we are so identified as what we accomplish or what we do, we're so out of touch. There is an inner light inside of each of us, and the intention of a life and a profession and performing is to shine the light, is to come alive. And for our third cost, this is from the Yoga Sutras. When we strive mightily for a goal on our path, gratifying rewards and results incidentally come our way. We can easily become so enamored of what we accidentally acquired that we mistake it for the goal itself. I love the example of an actor that loves to get on stage. They love the flow state and the reaction from the crowd. They love the embodiment of a character. And over time, the actor starts to gain fame and fortune. And then the actor starts to be more addicted to the fame and the money and the success than the actual process of getting on stage to do what they love. Same as a business person that at first wants to make enough money to sustain their family and spend time with their kids, when soon they become so overworked and so obsessed with making money that that becomes their motive. They don't spend any time with their family. So we are walking such a tightrope in doing what we love to do and offering it up into the world without starting to get obsessed with the wrong things. You know, the dangling carrot of what culture says is success. I believe that we're born with a purpose and we're born forgetting. In yoga philosophy, there is a concept called a siddhi. And a siddhi is a magical power that you start to have access to. Let's say for a public speaker, they can hit every heart in the room. That's a magical power. And they start to forget that the magical power is not the point. The point is to wake up. The point is to stay engaged and present in life. So when we fall for the trap of our magical power, be it manipulating energy in a room or winning a court case or inspiring people, we have to come back to the idea that that is all just a trap. And you're here for so much more than that. A good question to ask is, if it didn't pay, would you do it anyway? And how do you stay motivated? How do you stay inspired to see and follow inspiration? Also, letting yourself the opportunity to evolve. If we get trapped in the city of making money or doing a handstand or running Ironman, we're not giving ourselves the chance for the next evolution of us. We're operating on autopilot and we're out of spirit, we're out of soul. One of my favorite quotes from so long ago is, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that. Because what the world needs is those who have come fully alive. Howard Thurman. My guess is that you are an inspiration. You are a leader. You are masterful. You have big dreams and aspirations, and lucky you. But please, for the sake of your own evolution and for us to receive your art, remember how to powerfully disconnect work and life to land in the present moment. Remember that you matter because you breathe, not because of how fancy your personality is or how beautiful your home is. And lastly, the point of a life is to live it and be engaged with it. Give yourself an opportunity to break the ceiling that you've placed on your life because you felt like that was the top for you. This is not the peak. I love you dearly. If you liked what you heard or if anything resonated, be sure to reach out or share this with a friend. Until next time, desire is not a bad thing. It's just important to know which desires are taking you forward and which ones are taking you in circles.